So we are in the middle of our mission. So for the 800th anniversary of the Dominican Order, I've been preaching on the four pillars of Dominican spirituality. 2 weeks ago, I preached on what? Study. Last week? All right, good, good. This week, we're going to look at community. Then next week, we will take a peek at preaching. So far, when we look at prayer and study, it's really about our relationship with God. We come to know God through our study, and we come to be in that perfect union, that one-on-one union with God through our prayer. But Jesus did say the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with your heart, mind, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. So our faith is not just about Jesus and me, and don't worry about thee, but you have to be part of this relationship as well. This makes sense because we are social animals. If you think about it, just about every idea or cause brings people together to either talk about this idea, whatever it is, or to say, hey, let's get together and do something about this cause. What's interesting is I came across a number of articles recently that have atheistic churches. And when you read their mission statement, it basically says, these churches exist, quote, to provide a community for non-believers. So, it appears that we are hardwired. We are hardwired to have to be or want to be in relationship with another person. I started to realize the importance of this when I came back to the faith in my 20s and started going to church at the Newman Center at ASU in Tempe, Arizona. Go Devils, Sun Devils, which was staffed by the Dominicans. Anybody remember Father Daniel Rolland? His first ministry as a priest was here. Anybody remember him? Nobody? You do? All right. Great. I'll tell him two people remember. No. So he was here, his first ministry, and he was there when I started coming back to the church. So when I started going to the Newman Center, I realized something I thought was impossible. You could be both Catholic and cool at the same time. I always thought if you're into religion, you're a geek or a nerd, leave me alone, I don't want to talk to you. But I started to make really nice friends. The Dominicans there were there. Father Nathan Castle, too. He was here, right? Yeah, Father Nathan Castle. Who remembers him? I'm going to tell Father Daniel and tell him, sorry, 3-1 odds, they know you better. So the two of them were there, and I got to really have a priest as a friend, right? It's like, really? You can, like, talk to a priest? Aren't they, like, weird and, like, live in weird places? But started to hang out with them. We'd go on retreats, and I really got to know both the priests and the people that I was ministering with. And what was amazing was the first time I really belonged to a community that centered around faith, centered around God, centered around Jesus Christ. It was in this community that I could ask questions about God and faith and not be thought of as being weird or ridiculed, as could happen in certain secular settings. The people at the Newman Center invited me into their lives. They let their walls come down, and they said, you know what? I'm going to share my joys with you, but I'm going to share my fears with you. I'm going to share my shortcomings with you. I'm going to share my struggles with you. And it was here that I made some incredible friends, and I started to see God at work in their lives, which made me sometimes turn the mirror around and say, well, look, God's doing the same thing for you. Sometimes we don't have something to compare to. We miss certain things. But seeing God doing things, that's God doing that in my life? Huh, okay. So I started to see God more and more in the community. In this communal relationship of faith, God made himself present to me. The Newman Center also helped me to see parts of society that I had overlooked. I was in my early 20s. I had a corporate job, nice paycheck, you know, girlfriend, car, apartment, all those wonderful things. And everybody I hung out with was in the same position. We all had good jobs, lots of toys. So we'd work our tails off Monday through Friday. Then the weekends we're hiking mountains, jumping out of planes, going skiing, all those things. And I just thought, well, doesn't everybody do this? You know, it's like you get that tunnel vision in your life, right? Well, then with the Newman Center, someone asked me, said, hey, why don't you come down to the soup kitchen? You know, we're going to go to feed the poor. And I was like, okay. And it was weird. I was like, there are poor people in the world? Like, I knew there were poor people in the world. I get that. But I was like, wow, I actually encountered one. So again, my life was very much a tunnel, right? Wake up, go to work, come home. Wake up, go to work, come home. Weekend, go have fun. I never saw that. So in today's gospel, the rich man, his sin, if you will, wasn't that when he walked by Lazarus, he kicked him or spit on him or said, go get a job, you bum. He didn't do any of that. He just walked by him. He never even saw him. He was so enraptured with himself and his life, he couldn't see his brother who was dying right there next to him. And that's what was happening to me. Right, I had this tunnel vision going on, and it was the Newman Center that said, no, we have to love our neighbor as ourself. Now, it's easy to love your neighbor when your neighbor has a nice job and a nice car and a nice house, and all they want from you is to go out after work and have a beer with you or play softball with you. Sure, it's easy to love that person. But what about the person who might be stinky? What about the person who might not be totally there? What about the person who's going to say, you know what? I need you to make a sacrifice in your life because I really need your help. I was like, ooh, that's when that commandment really starts to come to the forefront. So my faith community allowed me to see things that I would never have seen if it weren't for people saying we need to live out our faith with God and neighbor. Then when the call came in, I started to discern the priestly vocation. I talked to Father Daniel, I talked to Father Nathan, and they said, come to Oakland, visit the Dominicans. But they also said, we want you to go and talk to the diocesan vocation director. If you didn't know this, there are two types of priests. There are religious priests, and there are secular priests. You're like, what? So religious priests are Dominicans, we live in community, where the diocesan priests sort of live in the world, if you will, right? It's a canonical distinction. And when I talked to the vocation director for the diocese, I thought, it just doesn't sound like me. Because I could end up in a parish by myself, right? I wouldn't have the support of another priest with me. And I was like, I don't like that model. I wanted to live in community with men and also with religious sisters who would be sharing the same ideals I do, that want to help me in ministry. So I'm very blessed to be here at St. Dominic's. So I have Father David, Father Corwin, Brother Chrysostom, Father Mark. So there's five of us here. And it's wonderful when we get together to pray and we eat together, we recreate together, we share our lives with one another. And that's what really said, you know what? This is what I want. I want this beautiful community so I can share the joys and I can share the crosses that come in life, that come in ministry, and someone will be there to support me. We're blessed here at St. Dominic's to have such a large community. Every weekend, about 1,300 people will come through those doors. So we are a mega church. If you have 1,000 or more parishioners, you are a mega church. So tell all your Protestant friends, I belong to a mega church. Right? Whatever. But it's also sometimes hard, right? Because it's easy to get lost in a crowd. I can remember times when I was at a concert, right? 50,000 people, giant stadium, you know, East Rutherford, New Jersey. And I thought, man, I feel really alone. What was going on in my life? I wasn't connecting with anybody at that concert, but yet there were 50,000 people around me. And I thought, I feel really alone right now. There's other times where I've been in other large crowds and whatever's going on in my life, I just like, you know what? I feel really alone. It's easy for us just to kind of come and have that relationship with God, which is beautiful. Hear the scriptures, receive the Eucharist, but not feel connected. We can feel alone because we're not having that personal relationship with another human being. I always tell people that we have to find ways to make this church smaller, right? We have to somehow take the 1,300 people that come every Sunday, and you have to somehow make it smaller. One of the ideas I came up with, I got some good feedback from the first two masses, is week after week, month after month, year after year, you guys sit in pretty much the same place. I always know at the 9 o'clock mass that the Hearths are going to be sitting right there. I know the Flanagans are right there, right? I can go through, and when you move, it kind of freaks me out. I'm like, wait a second, you're supposed to be over there. Or when you come to a different mass, that totally freaks me out. I'm like, it's Saturday and you're supposed to be here. But, so we do. We like to sit in the same place week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out. So do you know the names of the people around you? When you go to give the kiss of peace, do you know their names? Could you say, peace be with you, Susie, Billy, Johnny, Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, Sneezy? Could you do that? Well, if you can't, after Mass, I want you to introduce yourself. You know, we've been sitting next to each other for 45 years. I think it's time that we take our relationship to the next level. My name's Jerome. It's nice to meet you, right? Then maybe next week you say, hey, Mary, how was your week? Or maybe say, you know what? There's coffee and donuts after Mass. You want to join me for some coffee and donuts? Right? So this is one way that we can make our community a lot smaller, just by getting to know. When you come to Mass, it's so nice to have someone say, hi, Susie, Mary, Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, whatever your name is. So good to see you. Another way is to become active. Again, this helps us to have that smaller group, so become a lector, an Eucharistic minister, an usher, a choir member. We have wonderful liturgical ministries that help to bring the community smaller. That helps us to understand and get to know each other. Case in point, in April, I went to go witness my friend's wedding in Texas. And my friend Mike, his church, everything really is big in Texas. I'm not kidding. We walk into this church, I was like, you got to be kidding me. It seats 1,500 people, and they have seven masses that are full every weekend. Things are big in Texas. So you can imagine, you can really get lost in the crowd there. So Mike and I are doing some last-minute shopping before the wedding, and Mike is 6'4", as skinny as a pencil, with flaming red hair, and here I am, dressed like Friar Tuck. So we stand out when we go into stores. So we go into this one store, and he's buying some cards or something like that, and we get to the register, and a lady takes, little tiny lady goes like this, she goes, you go to my church. I give you communion. My name's Susie. Mike's like, hi, Susie. Nice to meet you, right? And all of a sudden, they started talking. Oh, you know, how long you been here? You know, blah, blah, blah. Oh, you know, and this wonderful conversation started to happen. So next time when Mike goes to get communion from Susie, it's not just God coming into my life, which is a beautiful thing, but my friend Susie, someone who I know, is here with me. And the community that's 1,500 people at a giving Mass has now come down to a one-on-one exchange, a one-on-one experience with God. We also have tons of other ministries here. We got the Knights of Columbus, the Dominican Laity, Legion of Mary, you name it. If there's a spiritual type or a personal type that you have, we have a ministry here at St. Dominic's that'll help you to give those gifts back to the community, that'll help you to learn who your brothers and sisters in Christ are that you've sat next to every week for the past 45 years. So this week's action step is to work on that community piece of it. So the four pillars, right, we have prayer, we have study, we have common life, and we have preaching. So we've broken down the ministries we hear to fall under those four pillars. And we're asking you to kind of take a look at those ministries and to sign up for one or more. So on either side of you in the pews, there are these beautiful little cards we put together that have the four pillars, study, prayer, common life, and preaching, and ministries that we do here at St. Dominic's under that. So we're asking you to take a look at this and to, you know, look and say, you know what? I've always wanted to be a Eucharistic minister. I've always wanted to get involved in whatever it is. So go through this sometime today and just check it off, right? And somebody from that ministry will contact you and explain more of what it's about. If you don't know what it's about, they'll explain it to you. You know, I don't want to do that. I want to do something else. So if you want to do that before you leave today, you can hand these cards to the Dominicans on your way out. If you want to take it home and pray about it next week, you can drop it in the collection basket. But I would ask for everybody to do something. Find something that we do here that allow you to plug in more deeply to our faith. So in review, a couple weeks ago, we talked about study. We started to realize that there's something really cool about God. Last week, we said we need to be in better relationship with that God, and we do that through our prayer. So this week, I'm asking us to get involved with each other on a human level. Allow those graces of God to come through us and to use our gifts to build up the body of Christ of which we belong to. Then next week, I'll show how when these three things are alive in your life, you will just naturally want to preach. Not necessarily up here from the pulpit, but preach in every aspect of your life. And it's a lot easier and not as scary as you think it is. So please check a box, and we'll see you next week.